Center for Parent Youth Understanding and the CPYU Podcast Network, you're listening to The Word in Youth Ministry, a podcast by youth workers for youth workers, where we give insights, strategies, and helps for effectively teaching God's Word to our students.
Here we are on episode 49 of the Word in Youth Ministry podcast. My name is Kyle. I'm here as usual with my friends Matt and Linda, and we are talking about looking at the schools that our students are in as mission field. And before I introduce our guest for today, Travis Deans, who works with the National Network of Youth Ministries, Matt and Linda, we were just having an interesting conversation. Me being in Ohio, Linda being in Florida, Matt being in, I think, the term would be the great state of Texas. All of our schools have a different calendar year. So Linda, you start in August. Schools start in August, early August even.
Yep.
And Matt, when do your schools start in Texas?
Yeah, about mid-August, like 13th we'd be or something like that.
Probably about a week after that. But what we just learned is that not everyone has a full week of spring break. So, right, Linda, you said as we're recording this, your kids are on spring break. And what does that normally look like? It's just a week off of school?
Yeah. And some of the schools actually got an additional Friday off. It was like a teacher work day or something. So, our students get a full like Friday to like 10 days later, basically like off.
Yeah. And as we're recording this, our spring break here in Ohio won't be for another 5 or 6 weeks until the week after Easter. So it's almost always whenever Easter is, which Easter, the date of Easter changes, but it's always the week after Easter. There's a whole week off. And even like as a church, it's so much in the culture of our area. A lot of people travel. So we won't have midweek youth group the week after Easter because so many people are out of town. How about you, Matt, in Texas? Is that something that happens in Texas?
Yeah, it was blowing my mind that y'all didn't have a traditional spring break. Like, I just didn't understand. Like, I've grown up with spring break my whole life. And so it's just so weird to me. But yeah, it happens in the southern states. I'd be interested to hear more about the northern states, how they do it. But it's perfect because you can kind of go south from here, like down kind of south and go to the beach during spring break, or you could go north from Texas going up to Colorado, New Mexico and go skiing. So, it affords you a great opportunity to kind of enjoy a week. We don't do anything around here, you know, besides have church, I guess, during spring break, but that's where I'm at too, right now, spring break time.
Yeah. And so as we're thinking about this, this is important because obviously as youth workers, we're ministering to students who are forced to go to school. You know, even as we think of the title of this episode, School as Mission Field, there's obviously a lot of conversation in the theological realm. What is a missionary versus an evangelist? Is it going to an unreached person versus just sharing the gospel with your neighbor? But what we know for the students that we minister to, from their time that we're ministering to them, they have to go to school, right? And so whether it's public school, private school, Christian school, homeschool, they're interacting with others. And for them in this season of life, their mission field is the students and teachers, faculty members that they have to interact with. And so I figured a good place for us to start just grounding this in the Word of God, since we are the Word in Youth Ministry, I figured it would just be good for each of us to share one passage of scripture that we would use to encourage our students to see the opportunity to share the gospel with their friends. So Linda, let's start with you. Can you read a passage and explain why? And then we'll go directly to Matt, and then I will introduce our guests for the day.
Sure. So I'll go with the classic, perhaps most obvious passage, Matthew 28. We find the Great Commission is what we would refer to it as, where Jesus came and said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So it's a call that he gives to all of his followers to go and make disciples. And there's a sense in which he's saying, like, hey, as you're going about your life, like, this is my call to you. It's not the call just to pastors and great Christian leaders, but to all of us that we should be going and making disciples. And that starts with evangelism and continues on from there. So, our students are included in that.
Yeah, I'm also in Matthew, actually, Matthew 9, starting in verse 35. This is Jesus going throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And then when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And then he goes on to name the 12 disciples or apostles and then send out the 12 apostles in the next two passages. And so one of the things I love how these two dovetail is you have the authority question. Jesus has the authority to send out disciples in Matthew 28. And then you have the compassion question. Like, why does he even do it? Because he cares about us. He cares about the harvest. And so I just love seeing the heart of Jesus here. Like, why do we do missions? Because we want people to come to a saving knowledge of Christ Jesus, who is our Lord and who cares about us. We want them to know the compassion of God. And so I just love that passage when I think about disciple or missions.
Yeah, I think both of those go so well together and lay a foundation for what we're going to talk about today. I was thinking of sharing one, but I think it's time we should introduce our guest for the day. And that is Travis Deans, who works with the 9-month mission trip in the National Network of Youth Ministry. And again, part of why we have him on right now is we want to commend solid resources to our listeners to work out the word in your ministry. So sometimes people say, oh, if I'm going to teach the Bible, it becomes just an intellectual activity, or it becomes something where it's like a classroom. It's not actually missional. But what we have here is we have a tool that we can use to put in the hands of our students and leaders to help them work out the word in their ministry. So Travis, thanks for being on. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started this morning?
Yeah, sure. It's great to be here with you guys. So good to hang out. And I'll just give you a little, Matt, you know, the whole spring break thing. We don't have spring break here in the North because what would you do? Sit around your house? It's cold. It's cold, man.
Travel to Florida.
Yeah. Might as well go to school. Yeah, none of us can afford to go to Florida. There's no point. So anyway, we end in late May so we can enjoy summer more. That's what
Amen.
We do. So I grew up in Pennsylvania, and I was a ninth grader when I did a year of homeschool because our school went on strike. And during that year, I was reading these missionary biographies, you know, William Carey and Amy Carmichael and Hudson Taylor, people like that. And I just had this experience where I, you know, it wasn't like an audible voice, but I just felt like God was impressing on my heart, I want you to be a missionary to your high school. And I never heard of that before. No one, you know, told me what that was, but it was just one of those things that, yeah, I think, because I knew I was going to be going back to public school, the following, fall. And so, just that was part of my own experience was, just feeling called by God to reach those around me with the gospel. And so we started a prayer group that met in the mornings, started a Bible club at the high school. I was part of one of the very first See You at the Pole events that took place back in the early 90s. And so it was, you know, this just part of my DNA as my walk with Jesus is that, hey, being a follower of Jesus is being missional, having that part of your life that you want to share Jesus with others. And I've been with a ministry called Teens for Christ the last 25 years, and we help students start Bible clubs in their high schools, and we use the idea of 9-month mission trip as this is a way of looking at school. And then 2.5 years ago, I went full time with National Network of Youth Ministries, and just kind of carried that idea with me, and just been sharing it with anyone who's interested. So
Travis, it's such a powerful idea. You know, I just love that thought, and I've perused some of your materials they're just really good. They're really good. What
Thank you.
Have you seen, like, how have you seen youth ministries implement some of these materials for their students?
Yeah. Well, let me answer that by going back to scripture for a minute. I always encourage youth pastors, and it's one of the ones that one of the companion passages that you mentioned, Matt, Luke chapter 10 is the one I usually use where, you know, Jesus sends out his disciples you know, he sends out the 72 in Luke chapter 10 to go to towns and villages. And he says, you know, the harvest is great, but the workers are few and all of that. And I reference that with youth pastors because most youth pastors desperately want to disciple their students. They want to help their students learn to follow Jesus, right? I think we all agree on that. But I would argue that part of that, an essential part of the discipleship process, is this sending out aspect. There has to be a way in which you are sending your students out to do ministry. And we do that through service projects and mission trips. But I often, you know, encourage them, wouldn't it be great if, you know, you're together on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, and you could say, you could, at the end of your time together, you could say, all right, guys, we're going to pray because right now we are sending you out, just like Jesus did his disciples. We're sending you out into the world to do ministry, to proclaim the gospel, to pray for people, and then allow those students to come back and share what God did through them. And so, you know, I think the idea of students reaching their friends at school, students in their school, I mean, I really think it's grounded in scripture because this was an important part of the process for Jesus. And later on, Jesus said, you know, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And, you know, I always encourage students, you know, I hope you have an opportunity to go to the ends of the earth someday. It's awesome to travel, but your school is your Jerusalem. Your school is the place where God has put you right now. So last summer, we had these prayer cards that we made available. It was just an encouragement for students to pray for 10 friends who need Jesus. And so I threw them up on Facebook. I'm like, hey, would anyone want some of these cards? I had 300 responses. So we mailed out 30,000 of those cards to youth ministries around the country. Just for youth leaders to encourage their students to pray for friends that need Jesus. Because it begins with prayer, right? If you are not praying for someone, you're probably not going to share the gospel with them very well. But if you are praying for them, God is going to put this care in your heart for them. You're going to care about what's happening in their lives. You're going to care about where they're headed for eternity, right? So praying leads to caring, and that leads to sharing the gospel. And so, we had a number of groups that used those cards. They would do like some kind of a kickoff night in late August or early September. Hey guys, we want to encourage you to think of this school year as a mission trip. You know, think of this school year as an opportunity. And so we had one guy who, this was kind of cool. He took the logo, and we make that logo available. It's, you know, use it however you want, whatever way works best for your ministry. He took the logo, he put it on a map, like a poster size map of their area. And on this one night in August, he had his students come up, and they put a pin in the map where they go to school. And so he had students from a bunch of different schools, and it's like, okay guys, we're going to be praying for these pins represent places and students that we are praying for this school year. And I love that. I was like, man, that's awesome. That is so cool. And then we had groups that, you know, they preached. We have a one night message that we make available. So we had a number of youth pastors that took that message. They adapt it, you know, make it work for them. And then, you know, the challenge at the end of the night was to take a card, write down the names of those friends and pray for them. And so, you know, then from there, we've had a number of youth pastors that, you know, have shared stories of their students, you know, sharing their faith with their friends at school, doing things to, you know, creative things to, share the gospel. We had a group that just, over Valentine's Day last month, they gave out some Valentine's candy with had a little thing attached that, you know, that God loves you, and had a scripture on it. Wasn't a big thing, wasn't a huge deal, but it was a little something. And I'm always in favor of doing something rather than nothing. So it's been fun. It's been fun to see youth pastors kind of take that idea and just kind of use it in different ways, but, you know, what fits and makes sense for their students.
Nice. So it's funny, like, I didn't until the past few days realize what this 9-month mission trip thing is. I, you know, saw that it was listed as one of the partners for our Northeast Youth Ministry Summit. And I was like, oh, interesting. There's someone who's offering like a mission trip that you can go on for 9 months. Like, whoa, like who has, like, I guess they're encouraging students to like take a gap year or something. What? And then I find out like, oh, this is actually like a resource someone has created to essentially just have students like view the places they already are right now in school, like as a mission field. And I was like, that's actually like a pretty useful thing. It's totally different than what I thought. Right.
It's, and it's so funny. That happens a lot, actually. People, yeah, they'll come up to my table somewhere and be like, so where do you go on this 9-month mission trip?
Right.
I always tell them, I'm like, listen, this is the perfect mission trip because number one, it's already paid for. The taxpayers of your state fund it, right? Transportation is provided. You don't have to fly there. And, you know, if you can't get there, a big yellow bus will come and get you. You already know the language, you know the culture, and the food is still weird. So it's
that's awesome.
Yeah. So I mean, I love that this resource exists that just helps students think through like, hey, who are the people I can be praying for? All this stuff. I imagine listeners to this podcast come from lots of different contexts where, you know, I could tell talking with other youth ministers, some of them are in places where a lot of their students are in public schools and they actually have a lot of unchurched kids coming to their youth group. And then there are other places I've seen, and I've been in a few contexts like this, where a lot of the students might be some combination of they go to a Christian school and or are homeschooled, or they're just in, maybe it's like a small Southern town where like everybody has been exposed or to Christianity or church to a certain extent. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing none of us would say, hey, therefore, like they don't need to go on a 9-month mission trip. Right. Like, and we could probably all give answers as to how to handle this, but I would love to hear you speak to like, how can we help those students to still see this as a useful resource that maybe if they're a homeschooler, they might adapt it, you know, some, but how can they still see the places where they are as a mission field?
Yeah, I get that question a lot, which is it's really good. Well, number one, obviously, if you have students in public school, this is so important because it's so important for your students to be influencing others rather than being influenced. And I think one or the other is going to happen. Either they will be influenced or they will be influencers for the gospel, right? So super important for your public school kids, but also equally important for your kids to go to Christian schools and homeschool because, again, if they don't have some way that their faith is being affecting them in real life, if they're not using it, if they're not doing something with it, they're going to be stagnant in their faith. Their faith it's part of the growing process, is getting out there and sharing Jesus with people. And you cannot grow as a believer as you should without some aspect of that. And so it's doubly important for kids who are homeschooled in Christian schools, because while they don't have that natural opportunity necessarily, it's important to find ways, right? And so actually my kids are homeschooled, but my kids are my daughter's involved in dance. My kids are involved in karate. You know, activities like that are great for kids to, you know, opportunities to pray for people, to be a witness to people. Kids spend a lot of time online, in Discord and Twitch and YouTube and all these places. Those are opportunities where students can share the gospel and be a light for Christ. Just online presence in general, right? That's their phone can be their outreach to people. So it takes a little more creativity, but I would argue it's even more important to help those students find ways to share their faith. And maybe it's just getting out in their community. Maybe it's prayer walking the neighborhood. Maybe it's serving with a ministry, a soup kitchen, a homeless shelter, whatever it may be. But, there's no one that can reach teenagers like another teenager. And so, I don't want this to sound wrong, but anybody can serve in a homeless shelter soup kitchen, but not anybody can reach a teenager with the gospel. And so I know I always encourage students, listen, I know you can do, there's lots of different kinds of ministry you can do and you should do. And I encourage you to do it, but don't neglect the people your own age who desperately need to hear the gospel from someone their age.
Yeah, Travis, thanks for sharing your input in this, because one thing that I think we often miss in the student ministry context is exactly what you said, that there's something special that happens when a student shares the gospel with another student instead of an adult sharing the gospel. And we know the power doesn't come from the person who's delivering it. The power comes from the message. But I often encourage my students who sometimes their first instinct when their friend, they want their friend to know Jesus, they bring them to youth group or bring them to me. And I encourage them that if they're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is working in them just like he's working in me, and they can share the gospel. Yeah. It doesn't have to be the youth pastor. So I think that this resource that you've put together is a helpful one that I think our listeners will find applicable as we think about this. So we're going to take a quick break here on episode 49, looking at the school as a mission field with Travis Deans. And when we come back, we have a few more application questions, as well as just thinking through what this could look like in the student ministry context. So we'll be right back after this short break.
I often hear grandparents say how glad they are that they don't have to raise kids in today's world. While these comments might not be very encouraging to those of us who are parents or who are doing youth ministry with kids today, they do recognize the fact that there are lots of confusing and dangerous cultural realities that kids need to navigate if they are going to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. In an effort to provide parents and youth workers with an easy-to-use tool designed to help kids find their way through the choices they face in today's world, I've written a new little book that can be used individually or in small groups, A Student's Guide to Navigating Culture. It's the shortest book I've ever written, but it's the one I believe will have the greatest impact in terms of discipling the emerging generations. If you want to teach your kids how to live in today's culture while following God's will and way, check out this new little book, A Student's Guide to Navigating Culture. You can learn more and order copies at cpyu.org.
We're back on The Word in Youth Ministry with Travis Deans. So I want us to just talk a little more practically here. Travis, can you tell us more about what this really looks like and kind of what the specific resources you offer are that youth ministers can use?
Yeah, sure. So there's several things. Number one, I mean, 9-month mission trip, more than anything, is an idea. So we all, you know, we give youth pastors, you know, the logo as a, hey, if this works for you, if it helps your students to think differently about their schools, please use it. Please use it in a creative way, in a way that works for you. Last summer, we started creating these prayer cards, which we encourage students, you know, we give the youth pastors to encourage your students to pray for friends that don't know Christ. We also have an app, the 9-month mission trip app, which is in the, you know, the Apple Store, the Google Play Store. And there's some training on there. There are youth workers from around the country sharing ideas. But the best thing about the app is actual students sharing their stories of how they have been making a difference for Christ in their schools, which is really, that was really the whole reason we created it, was we just wanted a place to gather stories where students could share, hey, this is what God is doing in my life, in my school. So we have that. And then we just developed something new. It's a booklet because we figured something on paper would be novel and new in our digital age. But it's a booklet that kind of guides students through planning out, mapping out what a 9-month mission trip might look like. And so it goes from August till June, because we know some schools are, you know, have different start and end times. But basically, it's just this, I think it's a 24-page booklet with lots of space for them to write prayers, to write goals, to write, you know, what they think God wants them to do on a month-by-month basis. And it was that was actually inspired by a student who did that. She sent us a report at the end of the school year of what she did each month of the 9 months. Wow, that's cool. Those are our big resources, and all of which, if you send me an email or you go to 9monthmissiontrip.com, you can request any of those things. We have a contact page on 9monthmissiontrip.com that you can request all of that, but, or you can send me an email as well.
Chris, that's got to be incredibly encouraging to see the stories of students who have implemented this or have done this. And yeah, that would be really neat to kind of read some of those testimonies.
Yeah.
But when you start this in your youth ministry, my assumption would be that not every student would be on board with it. And can you just kind of talk through that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Right. So, I mean, students are in different places in their walk with Christ, right? We some students they're just exploring, some are growing, some are learning, and some are ready for more. And this is something for your students who they need something more. And, you know, Jesus knew his disciples, they needed that more, right? And so as a youth pastor, you had to be kind of aware of, okay, where is this student in their walk with Christ? And are they ready? Are they ready for a challenge? And those challenges those are part of spiritual growth, because when you step out in a place where you have to trust God and where you don't know the outcome of something, that's a lot of growth happens when you're faced with the unknown, when you're faced with questions that you don't know the answer to. And so, you know, I think every youth pastor has students, at least a few, you can see them. They're right on the edge of, they're either going to keep growing or they're going to regress, right? Mm-hmm. And so you want to help them keep growing, give them a challenge. And that's what that's who this is for.
And Travis, as we just maybe wrap this up, and again, a reminder to our listeners that all of these things are going to be in the show notes. As he said, you can just go there, go to 9-month mission trip, the website, and get more information. But can you just give one last encouragement to the youth worker who's listening? We know some of these are youth workers, children's ministry workers, parents, people who might say, you know what, I love this idea of encouraging my students to look at their school as a mission field, but yet I feel like I already have so much going on. And honestly, I don't know if I can take another weight on my shoulder of things to do. Can you just give some encouragement to that youth worker to continue and just how you have seen God use youth ministries throughout your time in this position?
Yeah, I totally get that, because no youth pastor needs more to do, right? So this is not us saying, here's something else you can do. What this is, we know what you want to do with your students. Here's a tool that we think can help you do that, right? You have goals for your students to grow in their faith in Christ, to walk with Christ, and honestly, to be solid once they graduate high school, right? You want them to make that transition from high school to adulthood, right? Without going through all kind of crazy things, right? So you want them to keep their faith. And so this is a tool that's going to help your students keep their faith, because if they can do this in high school, they can do this anywhere. If they can live for Christ in that environment, if they can serve Christ, if they can share Christ in that environment, they're going to be able to do that anywhere that God takes them, because high school is one of the hardest places to live out your faith and to share your faith. And so, yeah, this is just something to help you do what you already want to do. And if I could just share a story real quick, a couple years ago, we did a 9-month mission trip live stream, which we do every August, just to kind of, it's like a little bit of a training, a little bit of inspiration, encouragement for students and youth workers. So a girl from North Dakota emailed us after that, and she said, "Hey, I was part of the live stream training," and she said, "I really wanted to do this," and she said, "The first day of school, I noticed a girl sitting by herself, and I went over to the table and sat with her, and I introduced myself, found out that she was new to the school. And so I invited her to come to youth group that week." And she said she came. She came to our youth group. She heard the gospel and she got involved. And she got connected. She and gave her life to Christ and all of it. And of course, part of me is thinking, wow, like, you did this. Oh my word. But you know, I think it just speaks to our students are ready for more. They really are. And when we give them a tool and we say, okay, go for it, take this and run with it, man, you will be surprised. You will be amazed at what your students do. And I've had that happen over and over again. I'm shocked that in the culture we live in today, where being a Christian is not necessarily a good thing, right? Our world today does not look at that as a great thing. But I have been surprised over and over again by the courage of students when you give them a when you give them a challenge, you give them the tools and let them go. I've been amazed to see what they do. And I really believe that youth pastors listening, I believe you'll be amazed as well.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Travis. And I think we all have been in these times in our ministries where we say that we believe something is possible. And then when it actually happens, we're like, wow, God, thank you so much for your faithfulness in this. So as we're concluding here, episode 49, School as a Mission Field with Travis Deans, we encourage you to check out these resources, continuing to think through what application looks like for students to actually look at their school as a mission field and share the gospel with their friends. Just as you were just sharing that, just thinking about how if students can get their minds around this and make this a normal part of their life now as high school students, middle school students, even children, how that can be something that they keep doing for the decades into the future. So again, this has been episode 49 of The Word in Youth Ministry. We'd love to hear any future episode ideas that you might have for us. You can email us at thewordinym@cpyu.org. That's thewordinym@cpyu.org. And we look forward to being back with you next time, which will be episode number 50. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to The Word in Youth Ministry. To learn more about CPYU and the resources mentioned on today's podcast, visit us online at cpyu.org.